Pastor Aaron a hand. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Amen. Why don't you just lift your hand to the Lord? Lord, we pray that your spirit would fall on this place like we've already sensed you. Father, we know you've been in the midst of us because we've gathered together, and we say thank you. We're appreciative. Our hearts are filled with gratitude this morning because we know you can do in us in a moment things that we worked our whole lives at. So we pray that to be so in this place, to have your way, Father. Minister your word this morning the way you'd like it ministered in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Aren't you just thankful for family and friends this morning? Man, I walk in here, I feel like I'm at home. Amen. And I know you do as well. And speaking of being home, I was talking to Dad yesterday, and we were talking about Miss Barb Tooley. How many of you remember Miss Tooley? She sat in the back there for years and years, probably nearly 20 years. She went home to be with the Lord last week. She was living in Virginia the last couple years of her life with her family, but she spent nearly 20 years here. And Tuesday, I'll be doing her funeral right in this room at 11 o'clock, and the family would so appreciate each of you if you'd come. Amen. And Mom and Dad this morning are doing family stuff. They're with Miss Judah this morning, spending the day with them, and so I'm so thankful that they're able to do that. Amen. And I'm going to add one more thing, and I forgot about it in the first service, and you're going to say, how could you forget that? I've begun to communicate our vision and our passion to redo the front marquee in the concrete. We're going to make the concrete heated so when you walk up on a snowy day, it's totally clear. How many of you like that idea? Amen. And there's going to be digital signs and everything out there, all new doors out front. And that project will cost nearly $150,000. Amen. And on Thursday, we had a board meeting, and we got done about 10 o'clock, and we've all unanimously agreed to move forward on that. Amen. And I got a call. You'll never believe this, and I haven't shared this with anyone other than my dad. You'll never believe this. I got a call Friday morning from an individual, and they said, Ryan, I want to ask you, you've talked about that front marquee. I want to ask you where you're at, and I begin to explain to him and give him the information. And he said, Ryan, I want to be the first to commit to the project. I want to give you $20,000 towards that project. What? If that's not God, I don't know what is. Amen. And I had to share that with you. So give to the Lord faithfully and watch his work be done. Amen. Well, last week, 2 weeks ago, I was honored to share with you a word that we entitled, We Can Certainly Do It. We can certainly do it. And how Caleb had a different spirit about him. How many of you remember that message from 2 weeks ago? And I got to tell you, I had so much feedback on that message. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. And I believe that God worked in me as much as he worked in anyone on that message. And I had an individual come up to me, a young lady come up to me, and she said to me, I love the message, but I always feel like the 10 doubting spies. And that really set on my heart and on my spirit. And I begin to think about that. And I begin to think about it in these terms that oftentimes, I hate to admit it, but sometimes I'm the doubting spy. I would love to stand here and tell you that every time the Lord speaks to me and declares a word to me and sows a covenant promise into my heart and my spirit that I just agree with it and I embrace it and I believe it and I can see it come to pass. But there are times in my life and maybe in your life that you're like one of the 10 doubting spies. I don't know, maybe you're not that way, but I'm that way at times that I let worry creep in. I let doubt creep in. I let maybe some anxiety creep into my heart and my spirit. Am I talking to anybody this morning? And I begin to wonder how could God do something so miraculous, so powerful in my life and in my family? How could this ever come to pass? And sometimes I feel like one of those 10 spies. I let that worry creep in. And I begin to think about those 10 spies. And I begin to think about that young lady that walked up to me and said, I feel like one of those 10 spies. I wake up worried. I go to bed worried. I wake up in the night worried. And I think about the downside to every upside. I think about the concern and the worry more than I think about the promise of God in my life. And God began to speak to me in that moment. And in Matthew 6:25, Jesus addresses worry. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes about worry. And the word of the Lord says this, Matthew 6:25-34. I'm going to read the whole thing today. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, about your body, what you wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about the clothes that you wear? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and thrown into the fire, will he not clothe you more? You of little faith, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all of these things are added unto you. And I love that, how Jesus caps it off and says, he's not worried about you having things. He just wants it in the right priority. Amen. He's okay with you having things. Just want them in the right priority. I want to minister this morning from the subject, don't worry. And Sam asked me last night at dinner, she said, what are you preaching about? And I said, don't worry. And she goes, what do you mean don't worry about it? It was funny, like a couple minutes after, because she had this real strict look and I thought I was in trouble. Amen. Not don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't worry. There is so much in our lives going on. I don't know about your life, but my life, there's like layers of when people come up to me, how you doing, Ryan? And our automatic response is good. But there's like layers. Are you talking about the me in ministry? Are you talking about the me in my marriage? Are you talking to me about the me in my emotions and in my workplace? What me are you talking about? Because I sense God's miraculous wonders in certain areas of my life and different seasons of my life and different portions to my life. Some of you are still laughing about what Sam said to me. Amen. But it depends on what area you're speaking of. And the 10 doubtful spies are struggling to rest in today for fear of tomorrow. They've just come out of the promised land, and they've seen what God's promises are, and they've seen the goodness of God. And you sense that type of goodness in moments like this where God's Holy Spirit is on you and working in you and working in your family. But you can walk out them doors and face things that takes you from a spirit of faith right into a spirit of worry. The 10 spies are struggling to rest in today because of fear of tomorrow. And we live in uncertain times. We live in a time where everything is shifting. Everything is changed. I think about the things that have even changed in this place. I mean, everything has changed. There are no absolutes. And things don't even have to be bad for us to feel threatened and worry. These spies that we're talking about are saying, suppose this happens. They felt threatened by what they saw, and the truth was, it was all in their mind. God had spoken a word. God had declared a word. And I want you to know today that God has spoken a word over your life. God has spoken a word over your family. God has spoken a word over your ministry that He has good in store for you. But I'm not foolish enough to believe that we at times embrace dis-ease in our lives more than we embrace faith. Dis-ease. Dis-ease. Disease. It's funny as I looked at that word. Dis-ease and disease in our lives is unhealthy. The news, politics, our employment, our feelings, our attitude, our schools, our kids, our businesses. Life is sowing dis-ease at a rapid rate. And all at the same time, this dis-ease is being sown. Faith is being sown. I think of this week. I'll tell you, someone asked me to describe how I felt this week. I said, I feel like a can of Mountain Dew that got shook up and dropped on the floor and then opened up. We were in town this week, and we had a ministry where we just went out and blessed people. 75 volunteers showed up at that outreach. I was like, what? We went from house to, I don't even know how many houses we went to, maybe 50, maybe 100. I don't even know how many houses, just blessing people, just loving on people. We go right from that. We go into Wednesday night, our men's ministry. I skipped Tuesday night. Tuesday night, we had just an overwhelming presence of God in that room. Cheryl spoke on anger and began to speak to the hearts of kids in that room. Wednesday night at our men's ministry. Thursday night, we come in here. Pastor Aaron begins to minister the word of the Lord. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit erupted in this place. We begin to pray for people. And there was people all over this place weeping. And one young lady in particular, and I won't point her out this morning, she began to weep before the Lord. And she said, I don't know why I'm crying. I said, it's the Holy Spirit in you. Just go ahead and cry. We have had amazing moments, but all at the same time, life sows this dis-ease. And the sense of danger and being on the cusp of a miracle are oftentimes roommates. On one hand, I'm scared and nervous and I'm worried. And on the other hand, I believe God is doing something amazing. Have you ever felt that way before? And we understand the scripture. The scripture that immediately came to me as I wrote this is 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. It says these words, we are not human. We don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down strongholds of human reasoning and destroy every false argument. The word of the Lord is telling you that the enemy is sowing false arguments of worry and doubt and pain and fear into your heart and into your spirit, and God gives us weapons to deal with it. And I don't need my weapons in here, per se. I mean, it's easy when we're with the saints and we're with the people of God and we're in moments of worship like we just experienced. But I need my weapons when I go out them front doors. And I think oftentimes we wear our weapons as garments on Sunday morning. We put them on. We dress them up. We use them between the hours of 7:30 in the morning and 12 noon on Sunday. And then we take them off and set them and prepare ourselves. That's where I left it. I'm coming back to get it for Thursday night church. I'm coming to get it for next Sunday morning. When all along the way, God's not telling you to wear it as a garment. He's telling you, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. He's telling us he wants it to be a part of our being. Why do our minds go directly to fear and worry? When we get a letter in the mailbox, we engage with maybe someone who's less than kind. When we have a medical emergency, why do we forget everything we heard on Sunday mornings? Because I don't have my weapons as accessible as they should be. Tell your neighbor, I'm a Christian and I've got weapons. I'm a gun owner. I apologize if that offends you. I'm a gun owner. And in our arms courses, the first thing they teach you is to have your weapon accessible and for it to be familiar. And Pastor Trellis, who you're going to get to know in a month or so, he's going to come and preach on a Thursday night. He's one of my buddies. He's a big guy. You won't forget him. He's an arms teacher for New York State. He has been for 20 years. We got to talking over chicken wings. Amen. That's a holy moment. And he began to tell me, now, Ryan, you have to be familiar with your weapon. It has to be accessible to you or you can't use it. Man, God began to just smack me on the forehead. Are you familiar and can you access the weapons that God has given you? Not the physical weapons, but your spiritual weapons. How accessible are your spiritual weapons? Can you reach them in a time of stress? Can you reach them in a time of agony and pain? Can you reach them in a moment of frustration? Can you reach them in a moment of heartbreak? Can you reach them in a moment of challenge? And we must activate our faith weapons. And Jesus, prior to this teaching that I've just read you, when Jesus says, don't worry, he says it again, don't worry, because it takes us a little time, amen, doesn't it? He keeps going on and on and on. Don't worry, don't worry. And he's teaching us that we need a lifestyle of prayer. But the crazy thing to me is he's saying, don't worry. But if you back up in Matthew 6, you know what it says. Listen to this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So before Jesus tells his disciples, don't worry, he tells them, you need to learn how to pray. Before he tells them, don't worry, he teaches them a spiritual weapon that they have. And he says, invite me into your circumstance. You aren't informing me of anything, sir. You aren't informing me of anything, ma'am. I happen to be God. I know all things. I'm not asking you to inform me. We talk to people sometimes and they say, well, why would I pray? God already knows. You're right, he already knows, but he's waiting on you to invite him into it. My first point this morning, no informing, start inviting. Come into my mistake. Come into my marriage. Come into my family. Come into my regret. Come into my pastorate. I invite you in. I'm inviting you in now. I should have invited you earlier, but I invite you in right now. We must invite him into everything that we do. And Jesus makes it clear throughout his early journey that prayer is one of the most important weapons we could ever use. Over and over again, Jesus leaves the people, leaves his responsibilities, and goes into a private place. And you go and look in the scripture for yourselves. At the moments Jesus spends time praying, it precedes moments of the miraculous. And the disciples get smart and they say this, teach us. Teach me the trick, Jesus. Because we're watching you do something that we don't understand it. And I think if we're honest, we understand that it's important, but we don't understand the level of importance that prayer is. And the disciple says, teach us how to pray. And I want to pause right here in my message. I did it last service, and they were okay with it. I think you will be when we're done. I want to pause right here, and I want to give you four ways Jesus models the benefits of prayer. Here's my first one, A, peace in the storm. Jesus, when we pray, brings peace in the storm. Matthew 14, 22 through 35, when Jesus walks on water. Listen to this in verse 23. After sending them home, he went up on the hill by himself to pray. Jesus goes off by himself and begins to pray and begins to have this dialogue with God the Father in this moment. And all of a sudden, the disciples get out on the boat, and you know the story, that all of a sudden they hit a storm, they hit a tornado, they hit a rough patch in life, and they're crying out, Jesus. And at first they think he's a ghost out on the water, and they get scared, and then all of a sudden they realize it's Jesus himself, and Jesus begins to speak calm to the storm. He calls Peter, he bids him out to the water, and it's a faith-filled moment, but it starts with Jesus in prayer, and it braces and stabilizes the situation. In the situations you're in, and in a storm and difficulty and turmoil in your life, if you have a consistent prayer life, sir, ma'am, it will stabilize you in moments of storm. You won't go running off the boat. You won't hightail it out the side door. You won't go hide away. You will face the storm with power and authority from heaven itself, and you will be a consistent in the storm. I know people with unexplainable peace, and it's not even their nature. Their nature is not to have peace, but God gives supernatural peace to those who pray. How you react in the storm is a product of your prayer life. And you can't be the leader that you want to be and freak out. You have to have a calm head. And there's one thing I love about my wife. We'll be married 18 years in a month here, and I've seen her do it time and time and time again. When there's a crisis, when there's an issue, when there's a problem, she does not freak out. She might get a little attitude, but it'll be an attitude for your benefit. But she will go on lockdown like you've never seen. And she'll begin to speak to God. She'll begin to pray in other languages. She'll begin to engage with heaven. And all of a sudden, there's a calm and peace that comes. And when we were kids, my mother was the same way. See, the women got it down. Amen. My mother was the same way. There'd be a crisis going on in our house. And my mother would look at my father the way Sam looked at me last night. And my mother would say, we need to pray right now. We need to pray. She began to speak things over our home and speak things over our family. And can I tell you the crises that we saw in our family? All of a sudden, the storm began to shift. The tide began to shift in our favor because someone had their weapons accessible to them and began to use and engage them for their good and for his glory. I got another one for you. Jesus models the benefit of prayer another way. The prayer for the healing of others. Mark 9 and 14 through 29. I'm just going to read a little portion of it. He says, one of the men in the crowd stood up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. Whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams from the mouth and so on and so forth. And Jesus says this to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And you know the story. He begins to minister to this young boy. He begins to speak life. He begins to rebuke this demon from this boy. And the disciples, Jesus gets all done, and they go, man, what did we do wrong? What did we do wrong? We prayed for this. And Jesus answers him and says these words, this kind only comes about by prayer and fasting. Jesus models prayer another way. He says, in this portion of Scripture, he comes off the mountain. Catch this now. He comes off the mountain from praying at the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples have been praying, and he comes in, and he begins to minister to this thing. And some things in our lives only come about by prayer and fasting. And the disciples didn't fail. They just didn't know what to do. You ever been there before? See, another prayer, a prayer of submission to discipleship. This is my favorite one. This is my absolute favorite one. Where I am in my life, where you are in your life, Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Listen to these words that Jesus speaks. He says, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Going in a little further, he fell on his face. Jesus himself falls on his face to the ground and prays, "My Father, if it possible, may this cup be taken from me." Have you ever prayed like that? God, don't make me go through this. I don't want to handle this. I don't want to go through this. But he speaks this way, "Not as I will, but your will be done in my life." Jesus prayed his way into submission because God's will take you through difficulty you don't want to deal with. God's will in your life and in mine will take you to problems that you can't handle on your own. And God is not in our lives for our comfort and our benefit. God is in our lives for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus in this text receives the grace that he needs to continue forward. Let me just stop here just for a second. Someone needs grace to continue moving forward. Someone needs grace to stay married just a little bit longer. Somebody needs grace to be in the ministry that you're in just a little longer. Don't complain to someone. Don't text someone. Don't call anybody. Get on your knees before God himself and tell the Lord, "If it be thy will, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my heart and in my life." Can I get one amen in here? Here's another one. Here's the last one. Prayer of the forgiveness of guilt and sin. Mark 2, 3 through 12, just a small portion of it. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say this man is paralyzed, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take your mat and walk?" I want us to recognize something. Jesus says in this portion of Scripture to the man that's about to be lowered down into the roof. You know the story. He's lowered down in front of him, and he comes to Jesus saying, "Jesus, I want a healing. Jesus, I got a want. I want something from you. Give me what I want, Jesus. This is what I need right now." And Jesus puts a pause on the whole thing, and he says, "Son, I'm gonna heal you. I'm gonna give you what you want. Before I give you what you want, I need your heart whole and restored in Jesus' name." And he forgives him of the sin, and he washes him of the guilt, and then he says, "Hey, I got another benefit for you. Pick up your mat and walk." What are you talking about, Ryan? This is what I'm talking about. Are you carrying too much? Do you need God to forgive you and release you and free you from something because your heart is stained? Your heart is heavy, and it's manifesting itself in physical ways. We're right back to mercy, aren't we? Prayer will clean your heart. Prayer will release your guilt. And then you will accomplish what you know God has called you to. Prayer is not talking fancy words. In fact, I love the way Jesus talks. He's cool, man. He says, "You don't need any fancy words. You don't need to put a show on for anybody. Just talk to me. Just converse with me." Men say all the time, "I just don't have time." You got time in your car. Put your phone on. Do not disturb. Shut the radio off. Shut the news off. And just talk to God just for 5 minutes and watch the tide change in your favor. I'm back to the message now, and I'm going to be done in 5 minutes. My second point this morning is prayer is self-care. Many people, you aren't tired physically. You're tired spiritually. You can sleep 15 hours a day and you'll still get up exhausted. You can go to the spa all day long and come home tired. And if the counselors were here, and they are this morning, they'll tell you, you need to journal. And this is what I say. Go ahead and journal to your heart's desire. Write until your hands sore. But prayer is journaling to God. You can go on vacation and come home beat. You ever met a person, oh, I just need to get away. I just need rest. I just need to go away. And I'm not against any of that. But if you don't take the time during your vacation to clear and clean your soul of your year, you'll come back just as tired as you did when you left. You can ask my wife. When I go on vacation, I'm praying more than I do when I'm at home. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm in my devotionals, and I'm writing sermons because my soul is clear. Prayer is self-care. And I know it's old-fashioned, and you heard this preached when you were a kid, but can I tell you the devil's schemes didn't change, and neither did Jesus' way of healing and restoring the emptiness of our soul. My last point, worry cancels prayer. Jesus says over and over again, don't worry. You can pray awesome and consistently, but if you worry more than you pray, you will cancel out the prayers that you prayed. Worry is faith in the negative. Worry is faith turned inside out. Worry is responding to the negative voice more than the positive voice. When that thought comes to you, you need to begin to speak and pray and rebuke those thoughts in Jesus' name. And can I tell you something? If you do that, you won't have those thoughts as much. Worrying about things that never happen. Things that never happen. And can I tell you today? Control freaks worry all the time. You can't know everything because you aren't God. You want to know everything. You're making yourself upset and sick, and everyone around you in your life pays the price of your worry. Life doesn't report to your office. God doesn't report to your desk. He says to us, walk by faith and not by sight. Resisting the temptation to worry happens through prayer. And I've got one more scripture, and I'm all done. And this is the word of the Lord that I got this week. In 1 Kings 19, you know the story of Elijah. I'm going to read one verse of it. Now Elijah told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. Do you know what the messenger was? The messenger was, get worried about the threat that I've sent. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. There are people in this room, you are worried about things that never happened and never will happen. And Elijah, the prophet, the man of God, see, you think you're full of the word and you're exempt from all of what I'm saying. Elijah was the prophet of the Old Testament. He was God's man. He heard from heaven. And Jezebel sends this threatening, worrying spirit, this faith-killing spirit. She sends over to Elijah. You know what Elijah does? Runs for the hills. God just used them in a miraculous way. That's why none of us are exempt. Tomorrow, you know what I'll be doing? I'll be praying. I'll be speaking in tongues because the enemy, after you do the work of God, he'll come right on your heels. Am I saying it right, preachers? And Elijah goes under the broom bush. He goes under the tree. And you know what he says to God? The man of God says to God himself, just take my life. I'd rather be dead. I can't take it anymore. And there's people in this room, you've told God, I can't take it anymore. Am I saying it right this morning? The crazy thing about this scripture, the amazing thing about this scripture is Jezebel uses these words, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life one of the other. She says, may the gods deal with me if by tomorrow you're not dead. Elijah runs off from worry, being threatened and scared. Elijah goes under the tree. Now, here's the word of the Lord. Listen to these words. Elijah, the Bible says, he's a day into his journey. You're catching this. Jezebel said, if a day from now you're not dead, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely. The Bible says Elijah's a day into his journey, crawls under the tree and says, God, I want to die. The storm had already passed. The threat had already passed. The worry was already gone. The issue had already, the day had been gone. She cursed her own life. The curse had been lifted from Elijah's life. Instead of worrying underneath that tree, you know what Elijah should have been doing? Father, thank you that you kept me. Instead of worrying and embracing the threat under the tree, God, take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Instead of embracing the moment as desperation and depression and discouragement, listen to me now. This is a word from God for your life. This is a word from God for your family. Instead of embracing the negative, they should have been saying, thank you, Lord, that you kept me. They should have been saying, I praise you, Lord. My heart is filled with gratitude. My heart is filled with thanksgiving. And some of you need to change the testimony of your heart, your life, your spirit to just say, God, I know the threat was sent. I know that the enemy was working, and I know that he used, but greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I know that you've spared me, and I'm a walking, breathing testimony of the goodness of God. I want to pray this morning. If you've been worried, I just want you to stand right now. I'm not going to make you move, but I want the Lord to see you. You've been stressed with worry. You've been stressed with a threat. Stand up before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. I pray with authority from heaven. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I rebuke the spirit of a threat. I rebuke the messenger of Satan. And Father, we in Jesus' name, we pick up the weapons of our warfare. We pick up the word of God. We pick up, Father, the garment of praise. We pick up the garment of prayer. We pick up, God, the fellowship of the saints. I pray in Jesus' name that there would be a cleansing in this place like never before. I pray over people that they've walked with like some type of mask over their eyes. I pray in Jesus' name that that would be lifted in this place, in your people. I rebuke worry. I rebuke threats in Jesus' name. And we say to you this morning with our whole hearts, thank you for the miracle that you've already done. In and through us. We're a walking, breathing testimony. In Jesus' name, would you say amen? Man, I love you guys. I'm so thankful to the Lord for this place and this people. Every time I preach, I try not to stare at my notes the whole time, amen? And I write something up like this. It kind of jogs my memory a little bit. And the Lord told me this morning, I asked Sam if she'd make a few copies of this. It's just some notes from the sermon. If you'd like them, I'll be down here afterwards. We love you very much. We appreciate you very much. We're praying for you. We pray you have a fantastic day. Go in God's grace.